to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The real world, real in the sense of the one that's going to last, is the spiritual world. The spiritual world is the eternal world. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important for us as believers to be in the Word of God, because you know what the Bible is? The Bible is a doorway into the realm of the Spirit.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Galatians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, in a message titled, Life in the Spirit. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Here we are, and we come back to these verses, and I really want us to see this, just how important it is that we understand this whole idea of life in the Spirit, that we actually are living in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. And that is a reality that we need to be conscious of. So we're going to zero in on that today. But I want to sort of break down the fruit of the Spirit that Paul describes here. We looked at it more from the standpoint of what it is to bear fruit. And we talked about that, even the process of the vine and the branches and so forth. But today, let's kind of look at each aspect of the fruit initially, and then we'll move on to look at just the whole idea of life in the Spirit, and then we'll come to the application finally there as we conclude today. But remember, up until this point, as we've come to this practical application section, we've looked at what it is to walk in the Spirit, and we looked at, like I said, what it is to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so here now, Paul, you know, he describes for us the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, and so forth. And what we see in Galatians here, beginning at verse 16 of chapter 5, and we see this, of course, in all of the epistles of the New Testament, is that there's the point where we are called to action, so to speak, where we are given the practical application of the teaching. Because God's intention for us in saving us is to change us, to transform us, to make us new people in Him. And Paul, you remember back in the sixth verse of this fifth chapter, we looked at it where he said, circumcision avails nothing, uncircumcision avails nothing, but faith working through love. So circumcision is just a code word here for, you know, religious ritual. And Paul is basically saying the life of a believer in Christ is not about religious ritual. It is about faith working through love. Now, at the end of chapter 6, he's going to say something very, very similar, where he will say again, circumcision avails nothing, uncircumcision avails nothing. In other words, religious ritual is not what it's about. But there he says, it's about a new creation. And so this is God's intention, that through our faith in Christ, we experience a new life. It's the life in the Spirit. And that, of course, is a blessing to us. And then it is also to be a blessing to others. The whole, just the power of the transformation that comes through the gospel is one of the great attractive features of the Christian faith. I talked to a man earlier today, and somebody introduced me to him, and I'd not met him before, and he kind of told me a little bit, you know, he just introduced himself. And then I just said, so, you know, what's your story? Where are you from? And he just proceeded to tell me in a matter of just a few seconds. He said, well, you know, I was on my way to either prison or the grave, and Jesus met me and changed my life. He was telling me he's an usher at another church. And I thought, you know, that's a good way to describe it. On your way to prison or an early grave is what he said. But something happened. He met Christ. His life has changed. And that's what we're talking about here, the transformed life. So the fruit of the Spirit is what that transformation looks like. So let's just walk through each one of these different aspects of the fruit, beginning with love and noting that love here is the Greek word agape. Now, I think some of you are familiar with that word. It seems like we used to use it more than we do today, or it was maybe more common some years ago. But agape is the Greek word, and it's the very same word that we find in John 3:16, the most famous passage in the Bible, for God so loved the world, and the word love there is this word, agape. It's a word that speaks of affection, goodwill, benevolence, and obviously sacrifice. It is often defined as unconditional love. And you probably heard people define it in that way. Well, you know, God's love is unconditional love. And that's probably legitimate. But it's a love that is based in the lover, not in the thing that is loved. So the thing that is loved is not loved because it's so lovable, or because it's so desirable, or because it's so valuable, or because the lover is going to derive something from it. So it really is a selfless love, because when you think of it in that way, you know, so often the things that we love, and sometimes even people that we love them because we derive a certain benefit from loving them. But this is not the case with God. His love toward us is not because he derives a certain benefit from it. God didn't need us to love him back. So it's not because he's going to get something out of it. He just simply loves us because that's who he is. And so that's the kind of love that Paul is describing here. So this love is going to be working itself out through the lives of those who are the disciples of Christ, the followers of Jesus. So starting with love, but then he goes on to the next word, joy. And joy, gladness, cheerfulness, delightfulness, that's what's being expressed. So the believer in Christ is marked by love, marked by joy, and then peace, thirdly. Peace, the idea of tranquility or freedom from agitation, a sense of rest and contentment, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And as we come to Christ and as we are being transformed by him, we experience this fruit of the Spirit, both just as part of our own experience and a blessing to us, but as part of our, you know, the way we conduct ourselves, which becomes a blessing to others as well. And so then next we have long suffering or patience, same thing. The idea here is to forbear with difficult circumstances, or sometimes to forbear with difficult people. The opposite of this would be a short-tempered attitude. So this is that characteristic of being able to be patient with people and circumstances. And then we come to kindness. And kindness is more a reference to the disposition of a person. And it's the attitude that shows itself in a willingness and desire to do the little things that will bless others. So it's an attitude of kindness. But then the next word is goodness, and goodness is sort of a reference to what proceeds from kindness. So kindness is more the disposition, the attitude. Goodness are the acts that proceed from that attitude. And then there's faithfulness or fidelity. And of course, this means that you are a person that keeps your word, a faithful person. And then gentleness, or the older translation reads meekness. And again, meekness is more of a reference to the attitude, while gentleness is more of the outworking of weakness. So both words fit here with the Greek word. But let me just say that meekness is not weakness. Some people have mistaken meekness for weakness. Or some people have even, you know, looked at a person who actually is weak in maybe their character or their demeanor, and they would say, oh, well, they're just a meek person. There's a difference between the two, because meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. And the Greek word here was used to refer to wild animals like lions or tigers that had been tamed. So there's nothing weak about a lion or a tiger, right? But when they had been tamed, of course, it was that strength that was there that was now under control. So that's the picture with that. And then finally, the last aspect of the fruit Paul mentions is self-control. And again, pretty obvious. The word here is used in the context of disciplining oneself as an athlete, also in controlling one's sexual urges. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. And I love what Paul says here as he goes through each one of these. He comes to the conclusion and he says, against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. These are the desirable traits. And as I pointed out previously, these are just aspects of the fruit. They're all, it's one thing, the fruit, but these are all different aspects of the fruit. But now, there's also another aspect to it that we have to consider, because there are times, because of the reality of the flesh warring against the spirit and the spirit warring against the flesh, because of that factor, there are times when if the fruit of the Spirit is going to manifest itself, it's going to manifest itself because I choose for it to do so. And I want you to understand that there's a distinction here. There are times when the fruit of the Spirit is just there. You're not, apart from just your, you know, ongoing connection with Jesus, you're not trying to bring it up. It's just there. And, you know, we probably have had these kinds of experiences where in maybe a crisis situation, you just have peace. You can't even explain it. It doesn't even make any sense to you, and you're not trying to have peace. You just have peace. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And likewise, there are times when the kindness isn't there immediately. The meekness might not be there. The long suffering might not be there. And so in Colossians 3:12, Paul says, put these things on. Put on kindness, put on meekness, put on long-suffering. So you see, there are times when I have to engage the will. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, remember, it's the Spirit. It's there, but it's like a reservoir that needs to be tapped, and then the flow comes. So I want us to see that, because if we don't recognize that both of these things are true, then we might miss the opportunities to have the fruit of the Spirit when we really do need to have them. But because we're thinking that it's just supposed to sort of naturally be there and it's not there, then we just kind of move on and say, well, whatever. No, I need to tap into it at that particular moment. And so choosing the fruit of the Spirit, there are those times when that is how the fruit of the Spirit manifests. That's how the fruit of the Spirit flows from me, because I make the choice for that to happen. Now, Paul says in verse 25 here, he says, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, we've been looking at just this whole topic of walking in the Spirit, right? We started in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here, once again, we come back to that call to walk in the Spirit. But the thing that I want us to really sort of zero in on more than anything today is just the whole idea and the picture of what it is to live in the Spirit. This is what he says. Since we live in the Spirit, let us walk in step with the Spirit. What does it mean to live in the Spirit? Well, that's who we are. We need to understand this, and we need to think of ourselves this way, and it would probably be good to even refer to ourselves in this way. We are the people of the Spirit. We are the people. The church is, it's a body of people all over the planet who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, listen, this is not the normal experience of a human being, right? The vast majority of people live and die without ever having been indwelt by the Spirit. But it's those who put their faith in Christ that are indwelt by the Spirit. So we become, through faith in Christ, we become the people of the Spirit. And what that looks like then is that our lives are about the things of the Spirit more than they are about the things of the flesh. But I don't even want to just say the flesh. I want you to see it as just the material order. Now, of course, we live in the material world and we engage with the material world and we are material beings, but we are more than that. We are spiritual beings. We have been born of the Spirit, and so we live in the Spirit. The Spirit lives in us and we dwell in the Spirit. And so our whole outlook should be a spiritual outlook. And if you think about it, if you think about this distinction between, okay, here are the people of the Spirit, and, you know, the vast majority of the rest of humanity is not the people of the Spirit, there ought to be something that's pretty clearly different between those two categories. And that's exactly what God intends. And that's exactly what Paul even states here, that it's not about religious ritual. Remember, it's about a new creation. So we are the people of the Spirit. That's the distinguishing thing, people of the Spirit. And so people of the Spirit, we live in the Spirit. We conduct ourselves in the Spirit. Our lives bear the fruit of the Spirit. That's the thing that is going to set us apart, both for the glory of God, but also it's going to become an attractive thing to others. Going back to fruit for a moment, sometimes fruit, it just looks delightful. And because it looks so delightful, you think, man, I want to taste that. I want to try that. That looks amazing. And you taste it and see that, oh, yes, this is so good. And it's our lives, the fruit of the Spirit being the mark of our lives that people would look on and say, you know, that looks good. I want to taste that. Now, on this, just this whole idea of being the people of the Spirit, we need to remember, because I think we easily forget that we are the people of the Spirit. And we sometimes forget that the real world, real in the sense of the one that's going to last, is the spiritual world. The physical world is obviously real, but it's temporary. The spiritual world is the eternal world. And so we need to be thinking in those terms. We need to remember that we are part of this spiritual world. And this is one of the reasons why it's so important for us as believers to be in the Word of God. Because you know what the Bible is? The Bible is, it's a doorway into the realm of the Spirit. Here we are in this material world. And, you know, in a sense, we're sort of, most of the time, we're just kind of shut in to this material world. But you know what happens when you open the Bible and read it? Suddenly, the door opens to the spiritual world. Suddenly, you realize, oh, wait, yes, there are angels. Oh, my, there are demons. And oh, God, yes, he intervenes in the lives of people. There's a whole nother dimension that we oftentimes, even as Christians, even as people of the Spirit, there are often times when we're just living completely on the plane of the material and we're forgetting. Maybe not completely forgetting, but it's just kind of sometimes comes to a place where it's just sort of that's, you know, so far in the back of our heads, we're not thinking in those terms. But we need to think in those terms. And we are to live with that consciousness of the Spirit and with the expectation of God as being very near and active in our lives, and not to be surprised by the supernatural, but to expect the supernatural. You know, it's very easy for us, even as Christians, to turn our faith into something that's more intellectual or academic or informational. And I'm not against intellectual, academic, or informational. We need that kind of stuff. But we have to remember that, no, we're talking about something way beyond that. As much as we obviously have to be rooted intellectually or intelligently in the truth of the gospel, we have to remember that there is an experiential element to all of this, and it's a supernatural experience. We expect God to work. We expect Him to show up. We expect Him to do the things that defy science, that defy logic, that don't make sense from the merely material point of view. We should expect God to do that, because that's what He does. And He does it still to this very day in the lives of those who are His people, and that's everyone who's put their faith in Christ. We are the people of the Spirit. And so Paul says, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit, so therefore let us walk in step with the Spirit. And in walking in step with the Spirit, what we're doing is we're yielding to the inner impulses of the Spirit. See, what the Spirit does as He's resident within us and as we're cultivating our lives of the Spirit, what the Spirit does is He gives us impulses. He gives us impulses toward the right thing, toward manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. Like I was saying a moment ago, He gives us the impulse, which is to flip the switch so the love can flow. Now, sometimes, like I said, those impulses themselves are enough to just bring that fruit of the Spirit up. But sometimes the impulse, for whatever reason, can be weak. And sometimes it's because maybe our hearts have become hardened. Maybe it's because of neglect of the things of the Spirit, or maybe we've done something to kind of quench the Spirit in our lives. And there's that impulse isn't as we're not as attuned to it as we might be at other times. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's just for whatever reason we're just not as attuned to it. And so why I'm saying all of this is because it is a matter of yielding to the inner impulse. But when the inner impulse isn't strong, we've got God's word, which is always going to be the thing that we look back upon and know, this is how I respond here. And so this is God's intention for us. We are the people of the Spirit. His intention is that we bear the fruit of the Spirit, that faith working through love, that new creation. And it's through that that others are impacted. Others are attracted. Others are drawn. So let's pray that, you know, God will help us to walk that out in our daily lives.
For the month of January, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Fifth Gospel by Dr. Bobby Conway. In the midst of life's struggles and sufferings, it can be difficult for even us Christians to live a life that displays the hope that we have here and now through Jesus. But it's possible to experience more of God's power as the Holy Spirit exalts Jesus in our life and displays His love for others. In his book, The Fifth Gospel, Dr. Bobby Conway shares practical ways to become a visible witness for Jesus. The book, The Fifth Gospel by Dr. Bobby Conway, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Galatians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.